Amen. Hallelujah. His life for mine. That's the crucial point of the whole Bible. Right there. The greatest love story ever written. And you know, the Hollywood's been trying to recreate it ever since, but they've never come up with a story that would compare to his life for mine. I bless his holy name for it today. It stirs my heart. Stirs my heart when somebody starts talking about him dying in my place. You know, we've heard that since we were children. And many times if we allow our hearts to be hardened, it'll pass through one ear and right out the other. But the truth of the matter is that somebody physically died for you. Physically. It's not something you see on TV in the evening time when there's nothing else to do. It's not a storybook that was written alongside Pinocchio and Sleeping Beauty. Somebody physically laid down their life. The God of heaven, the righteous one, the holy one, laid down his life that I might have access to the Father. I can be clean and righteous and live with him through all eternity. Boy, that stirs my heart. I bless his name for it. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. This is not necessarily an Easter message, but I feel like this is where we'll be going. And this might end up in time turning into a series. We won't try to preach all of it tonight. Amen. There's a lot to be found in the book of Psalms. But as I was studying this afternoon and yesterday, my mind kept coming back here. We've already had two Easter services today. If you are outside this morning, if you were not outside this morning, you missed a great blessing. Yeah, we enjoyed ourselves, had a good time, and in the Word of God, the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, verse number 1, where it talks about him being the rose of Sharon, it talks about him being the lily of the valley. I don't ever want to sing the song that he's the lily of the valley and the bride of the morning star ever again without thinking about that fact, that he was pure, righteous, and holy, and the Bible sets him apart from anybody else, in his perfection and his righteousness and his humility and his humanity, every part of him. Is beautiful to look upon. Brother Fowler, boy, I guess I could preach for a little while. I want to thank God for his humanity. It wasn't, my goodness, the fact that he came and died. He felt every pain, every smiting blow. He felt every bit of it. He humbled himself to that point. And I don't want to glory in the persecution of it, but I glory in the promise of it. I glory in the fact that we can be cleansed by it. I bless his name. Praise the Lord. But over in the book of Psalms, I'm going to get there. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, we find the story of the blessed man. And there's a lot of things that can be said about this person. How many of you here tonight, present, would signify with a raising of the hand that you would like to be a blessed person? Every hand ought to go up right now. As a matter of fact, some of us ought to put up double palms. Say, I would love to be a blessed man. How many of you consider yourself a blessed man? Again, every person ought to raise their hand. But do you know that actions and attitudes in our life can take ourselves out of the equation of being a blessed person? It can. And as we travel through life, as we go through the decisions of life, many times it always comes back to the heart of the problem. You've heard it said that the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart most of the time. And a conscious decision to turn away from the Holy Spirit, a conscious decision not to follow after the Word of God and the precepts of God, will end up not costing you just a relationship with God. It can also cost you the blessings of God in your life. Now, we know I'm not preaching on a health and wealth gospel this morning. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel as the world would preach it today. Recently, I stayed at a hotel and I turned on the TV there and I was listening. And I guess for some reason I never watched that except for when I'm by myself. I don't know, but you get the religious channels, and there's people there that'll tell you, you send us $10, and you'll be planting a seed, and God's going to give it back 100-fold. How many of you have heard that before? You buy this handkerchief, and this is all you need to have your prayers answered. All you have to do is make a monthly installments for the rest of your life of $10.99 or whatever it is, and we'll make sure that your prayers get heard. How many of you have ever heard that? I've heard that, and they'll send you this little prayer handkerchief. And I can imagine, and it breaks my heart, I can imagine all these elderly people all across the country sitting around their TV set holding those little prayer cloths in their hand and praying that they would be blessed of God. The Bible does not teach any such doctrine. The Bible does not teach any such prosperity. The Bible teaches in Psalms chapter number 1 that a believer has the opportunity to be blessed, and the way that he is blessed is not by purchasing a prayer cloth or a prayer rug from somebody. It's not by reaching out and purchasing a handkerchief that is wipe the sweat of Apostle such and such, okay? We're not looking for things like that. We can have the blessings and the power of God upon our life simply by obeying His Word. Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1 is a powerful chapter. We've heard it all of our lives. It talks about the man that is blessed of God. In verse number 2, he delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he talks about he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In verse number 3, what that is speaking of is that fruitful tree. That person that is fruitful. That person that is expounding. That person that is blessed. And each and every person has the ability to be more blessed. And it's not a prosperity gospel. It's a God that takes care of us. It's a God that looks after His children. There are people in this room today, you would raise your hand, you would stand up with me today and say that the reason that you are blessed is because you placed God first in your life. Amen. And there's also people outside these doors, if we could chase them down, or we could look at their lives, we'd ask them, why is your life in the way that it is now? And they would say, well, it's in this position because I departed out of the way of the gospel. I departed out of the way of the Scriptures. I departed, and now I'm reaping the consequences of the things that I have done. In verse number 1 is what I want to look at. If we'll stand one time in reverence to the Word of the Lord, we're going to only read one verse right now, but I'll end up reading most of it as we preach. But in the one verse we're going to read is verse number 1. It starts out, blessed. That's the word everybody's looking for. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse number 2, we'll go ahead and read it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Back again to verse number 1. Blessed is the man. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We ask that you would enlighten us, give us a spiritual understanding, that the Holy Spirit would have right away in our hearts and our soul, but also in our mind, that we would be able to accept and understand and retain this as you give it to us. In your name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This word blessed is one that is a person. As we all know, we strive to be blessed. We desire to be blessed. A lot of times we associate the word blessed with a financial blessing or a property blessing, or perhaps even a material blessing. But there are other ways that a person can be blessed in their life. Brother David, I know many people that don't have two pennies to rub together, but their children walk in the way of the Lord. And I would say that that person is blessed. Amen. That's the reason why we have institutions such as Christian schools and things like that, that our children might have a way of growing up and understanding the things of God and choosing and deciding to follow in that path. These people, the word blessed is not something that is constantly equated to a bank account. That's a modern materialistic worldview that has been thrust upon the house of God and the people of God for many, many years. And the truth of the matter is, when the great revivals of the land swept across the land, they weren't meeting in cathedral buildings, Brother Jeff. They weren't meeting in nice, big, beautiful buildings. And I believe we ought to have those if we can. We ought to take care of them. We ought to maintain them and be a light into the community. But the truth of the matter is most of the great revivals in history were started in basements and open-air arbors, and people got saved walking down a sawdust trail, and they did not have to have all the finery things of life. They didn't have to have all the magnificent chandeliers and everything that goes along with it to be blessed. And I would love for God's people to get the mentality out of their mind that my blessings are not based upon my hourly wage. My blessings are not based upon what I can make in a week. My blessings are not based upon who knows my name even. The blessings that God offers is a thing that is separate from what the world offers. Materialistically, they'll tell you if you can drive a new truck, you are blessed. And if you're driving an old clunker, then you're not blessed. That's hogwash. Now, I've had good times in my old clunkers. I've listened to preaching, driving down the road, and God has met me there. I was not blessed by the vehicle at the time, but I was blessed that God's presence would meet me. And we don't have to have all the fine things of life. We don't have to have all the large houses. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm not preaching against those things. You ought to try your best to better yourself in this life. But the truth of the matter is if you are following after God wholeheartedly and He meets with you and has a presence in your heart and resides there and touches you as you read your Bible and answers your prayers, you're among the most blessed. The material things of this world, we need to get that out of our mind. The fact is, the matter is the person that has everything is the person that has a relationship with God. I heard a quote one time. I don't know that I could even quote it right, but some Dalai Lama or somebody made the mention that we give our health to chase money, and then we give our money to buy back our health. And it's the truth. It's the truth. We spend all of our young years working our lives away and not having a relationship with those around us, but especially not having a relationship with God, so that one day we can turn around and give it back to the doctors and the lawyers and the physicians of society so that we might regain what we've lost. The truth of the matter is, if you have a spiritual blessing, nobody can ever take it away. Nobody will ever be able to take it away. It'll only be you that can give it away. You can maintain it for years and years to come, and it'll be sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. We don't have to look to the world for our blessings. We don't have to look to worldly education for our blessings. Our young people, now listen to me, listen to Brother Caleb for just a minute. Get all the education you can get. Get a good job. But don't ever allow somebody to tell you that you are more blessed because you did that. The blessings that you can have are spiritual blessings. I've seen people that lived in million-dollar homes that were miserable. I've looked them in the face as they cried. Let me tell you something. It's not all about every dollar that you make. It's not all about what school you go to. It's not all about all the accolades or the PhDs you can put behind your name. Those things are fine, well, and good. Don't ever let anybody say, I preached against that stuff, Brother Jeff. But the truth of the matter is, the greatest blessing that God could ever give is the presence of the Holy Spirit residing in the heart. What a blessing it is. We don't have to look to the world to find blessing. We don't have to look to the worldly education to find blessing. We don't have to look to the worldly entertainment to find blessing. Now let me get you something here. The blessing is not synonymous with the word happiness. You understand that? Blessings is not synonymous with the word happiness. There are people that are blessed, but we still go through trials and tribulations. Isn't that right? We have the God of heaven residing in our heart to help us through those trials, help us through those tribulations. But the blessed man doesn't necessarily say that he'll always be happy. But let me tell you something else. Everybody in the world that's got a smile on their face doesn't mean they're happy. Worldly entertainment would like to tell you that all the rappers and all the musicians and all the entertainers are happy. The truth of the matter is, if you were to ask them, they would tell you they are miserable. They are trying to fill a hole in their heart with all the big cars and the big houses and different things. They're trying to fill something that was put there by the God of heaven. God created you with a need to worship. God created you with a hole in your soul that only the God of heaven can fill. We don't have to look to the things of the world. We don't have to look at everybody else and allow them to define what blessings are in our lives. It ought to be the other way around. In this community, in Dennis and Belmont and Red Bay, it ought to be the Christians that define what happiness is. Amen. That's why I'm tired of hearing Christians have the mully grubs. I'm tired of hearing Christians complaining and murmuring. What I would like to see is people with a smile on their face, a skip in their step, joy in their heart, relationship with God, so that the world looks at that person and says, whatever they've got, I want it in my life. My goodness, no wonder we haven't had the revivals of yesterday year. A lot of times the Christians don't have the relationship with God that they should have, therefore they're not portraying the joy of the Spirit. The joy of Christianity, the joy of the Christian life. Blessed. This word is something that is not equated to human education. It's not equated to human entertainment. Let me tell you something. There's lots of things that we could preach about this word. I'm running out of time. There's lots of things that we could preach about this word, but it's not created upon what you think about your current situation, even. There's lots of different things that pass on. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through a situation, that doesn't mean that you're not blessed. Amen. It doesn't mean that you're not blessed. As a matter of fact, if you gathered around that cross this morning and you knew the story behind it, you're a blessed person. Physically blessed. But you can be blessed in your spirit. And now let's look at that. Let's get on to that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When you get down into this verse, it makes a separation. Number one, in the first line there, that walketh not in the counsel. And then you see, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And then you see, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What you see is the gradual decline that takes place. The person is going about his business. The person that it is speaking about is going about his business. He's busy. He's doing something. I would like to equate him to the person that is saved. They're on the way to heaven. They're doing something for God. But they take bad counsel. And it slows them down. They're walking by. They're walking, and the Bible tells us, they're walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And when they take that counsel, they sit down. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And then when they sit down, they begin, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now I'm going to break that down. We're going to look at each one of those phrases tonight. But when we look at it in the first part of it, the person, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We ought not look to the world to determine what we think about a current situation. And Christians have never looked to the world to check the wind, which direction it was going, to determine what we were going to believe. We never looked to the fads and the fashions of the world to determine what we were going to wear. We never looked to the fads and the fashions of the world to determine what we were going to give or how we were going to live or even how we were going to raise our children. We've not looked to the world for those things. Why? Because we have godly counsel. We have the Word of God. We can come to it at any time and we can take counsel in the Word of God. We can look at it and it can be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We can look at it and God will touch us in our heart and the Holy Spirit will work within us and we can grow in Him. But these people that oftentimes allow themselves to take wrong counsel, that person is setting themselves up for a fall. If you have a decision that needs to be made in your life, don't go out to the world to find the answer to that decision. If you have a decision to be made in your life, why don't you go to the Word of God? Why don't you go to the preachers of the gospel? Why don't you go to those that you know have a relationship with God and ask them and desire of them sweet counsel? The Bible says, and Brother Shannon, I have made this part of my life first. In a multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. And then it also says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. All through the Bible, the principle of counsel is given. Psalms chapter 119, verse number 15. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. This word, this Bible, is your chiefest place of counsel. You can look unto it. You can tell the things that ought to be done, ought not to be done, the things you can go to, the things you can stay away from. The counsel is not taken by the modern temperature of the world, but taken from a spiritual touch of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important. That's why it's so important that if you're going to be a blessed person, you're going to have to start out by leaving worldly counsel alone. They don't care about you. Let me tell you. They don't care about you. The blessed man, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You will be the counsel that you keep. You young people, you mark that down, you remember that. You will be the counsel that you keep. It would be good, and no matter what age you are, whether you're older or whether you're young, just starting out, does not matter the age, you ought to find some godly counsel in your life. People that you trust, that serve God. Don't go asking people your age. Don't go asking people in the same position you are in what they would do in your life. Well, we've got guys, I could name you guys. Let's just talk financially for just a second because That's something I've been around. I know people. It's a problem all through society, not just in the house of God, all through society. I know people. They'll go around, they're 17, 18 years old, got a job, somebody's willing to co-sign, they'll go up to somebody their age, 17, 18 years old, hey, should I go buy that truck? What in the world are you asking him for? He's got less than you got. He's in debt up to his eyeballs. He'll retire working off the truck he's already got. What in the world are you asking him for? I know people. I know people that have done that. And you know what they do? They end up going and buying that truck because another 17-year-old goes, yeah, man, you need to go buy that truck. Only because they want to ride in it on Friday night. Well, I know young people that are newly married, early 20s. Hey, you think I should go buy it? My dad's got this bass boat. I want a bass boat. Yeah, well, your dad's 60 years old. He's been working all his life to get that bass boat. There's no reason for you to have one. Let's just get real for just a second. The counsel that you keep. And I'm not necessarily preaching against bass boats. I like bass boats. There's nothing wrong with bass boats. I'm with you there, Brandon. All right, I got you. I got you back. But you don't have to go break the bank to get one. The truth of the matter is, the counsel that we keep will be what we become. You want to be a spirit-filled person? Get your counsel from the Holy Spirit. You want to be a biblical person in your life? Get your counsel from the Word of God. You want to raise a spiritual family? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Learn how to do it from the Word of God. Nobody knows how to do it outside of that book. The counsel that we keep will be what we produce. You parents in here, the counsel that you keep will be what you produce. It's not just what we become. It's also what we produce. When it comes to raising kids for God, the best thing you can do is find somebody that's been there. Find somebody that's made those decisions and ask them, how did you do it? It's one of the best things you can do. There's no reason for you to go down to the world and let them get on TV and tell you how well you ought not spank your kids. You ought not ever spank their kids. You're going to bruise their personality. Well, my personality got bruised a lot. You're going to ruin them. You're going to make them violent. You ever heard that? You're going to make them violent if you spank your kid. If that were true, I would be a mass murderer today. I was raised to be very, very violent. But you ought not go to the council of the world to determine how to raise your family. There's people that have made millions and millions and millions of dollars off of telling people you ought to not squelch their creativity. My creativity was squelched daily. Matter of fact, I didn't start coloring until I got in college. No, but the truth of the matter is we ought not go to worldly counsel because their advice is vain. Their advice is not based upon anything but opinion. And if I ever get up here and begin to preach advice that is based solely upon my opinion, you get the choice whether or not to take it or not. But if I get up here and preach out of the Word of God, then it is your duty as a believer to accept it and to run with it. That blessed man, we ought to look for people that have been there. The counsel that we take, and the counsel that we keep is what we will become, but it's also what we will produce. The Word of God, whatever the area of your life, whatever the area of your life, Brother David, if it's a desire to raise kids for God, seek godly counsel. If it's a desire to be a better soul winner in your life, find a soul winner. If it's your desire to do something great for God, or whatever field, whatever ministry that might be in, it doesn't matter if you're in the house of God as a preacher, Brother Pete, or somebody out in the world making money for a living, get underneath a godly businessman. Ask him how they do it, or where do they get the blessings of their life. Get under a man of God. Ask him, how do I make this my life? There's a godly counsel that takes place. In godly counsel, there's something that takes place, Brother Rob, that you'll not find in the world. It's called accountability. Amen. Hallelujah. We live in a world today, society tells you that the pastor's the only one that's supposed to be accountable. That's right. The truth of the matter is, every person in here needs. Let me tell you something you'll thank me for in 10 years if you'll listen to me. You need accountability. It's not a something of well, I don't need it today. I'm doing pretty good. No, that we don't get to do that because tomorrow you're not going to be doing good. The day after that, you may or may not be doing good. A week from now, you're not going to be doing good. A year from now, you'll be on the mountaintop. A year after that, you'll be in the valley. You need accountability. That's the person that's taking that counsel. That's the person that's seeking right counsel, has those right mentors in their life. This man is blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now this man is at first, he's walking in the counsel. Now he's standing in the way of sinners. If you look at it at the beginning, it's just an idea. It's just counsel. There's no harm in me going to the world to get my counsel. It's just an idea. I want to see what they've got to say. But the very next phrase is the fact that, number one, he started by walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You see, standing is more than just a thought. It's now taking up a position. It's somebody that is now taking up a position. Remember what I just said? The counsel that you keep is what you will become. Amen. You continue to listen to that counsel, and before long, it will shape you to be like it. Here's a for instance. You look at worldly entertainment. Look at the things that they've pushed down our throats for the last 35, 40 years. Is that right? They push things down our throats such as gay is okay. Amen. They push things down our throat all down through the last 40 years, and now it's generally accepted by society. Why is that? Because the majority of America has taken its counsel from the evening television shows. That's truth. It's truth. Let's just get away from that for a minute. What about fornication? What about adultery? The modern day society has taken its counsel from the world, and then we wonder why it shows up in our homes, and we wonder why so many marriages end in divorce. We wonder why so many kids go off and get involved in things they have no business being in. It's because the counsel that they've received has now become more than just a thought pattern. It's now just become more than just entertainment. It has affected the heart, and now they're standing in the way of sinners. You say, preacher, I'll never do that. We can go down to the corner this evening. We'll find somebody doing something wrong, and we'll ask them if they expected to do that. They'll be the very first one to tell you that I had no intention to do this. I've been in the prison ministry. You go ask those men what started it. You go ask the men, did you expect to be here when you were 15, 20, 25, 30 years old? Did you expect for your life to be wrapped up in the prison system? And they'll tell you, there's no way I intended for this to happen. What happened? Well, the thought became an action. The thought became something that took place in their heart and their life. That's why it's so important, people. That's why it's so important that we don't allow worldly entertainment into the homes to where it can affect our children. We don't give them access to the filth of this world. They'll sit there. They don't have a stop button. Do they? You parents in here, help me out. Do they have a stop button? They don't have one. You say to your child, all right, you play a few more games, then you go to bed. How many times you come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, they still be playing? So they don't have a stop button. They don't have that breaker in their brain that flips and says, hey, wait a minute, they just had just a few more games. The Bible says that a child left to themselves bringeth their mother shame. Well, when we take the counsel of the world and we pump it into their brains, don't be surprised when it becomes their very thought pattern. And to be honest with you, the house of God, the people of God, the man of God, the word of God only gets them 3 hours a week. What about the rest of the time? That's up to you. Amen. A lot of times we'll sit back, and I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in the house of God. I was blessed to have a good godly family. But I can even point back in my life, and I can show you people in my life that would be involved in the godly counsel, the godless counsel and the godless actions as a young person, and then when they grow up and decide to go out into the world, everybody says, well, they were a good kid. I wonder why that happened. Because their thoughts were shaped. We ought not allow that to take place. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The standing in the way of sinners, it's now become, he's part of that crew. He's now taking part in the pleasures of sin for a season. He's now somebody that is participating almost even. He's no longer walking by. This has become a stagnant place of his life. He's now sitting. He's now standing in the way of sinners. You know what? When I looked at this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This person has completely changed sides. You will be what you think. If you pump that into your mind, it will affect your heart, and that's what you will become. Amen. This person here, he started out walking by. Now he's taken a stagnant position. It's become part of that person. He's become part of that crew. He's now standing in the way of sinners. And then we're going to get to the last one. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This scornful person, it's more than just a sin that's taking place. The scornfulness, if you look that word up, it talks about an aggressiveness. It talks about a bitterness. This person is now actively against the things of God. You say, preacher, that could never happen to me. It all started out taking wrong counsel. It all started out by walking by and taking wrong counsel. And they probably thought the same way we do. That'll never affect me the way it does everybody else. But the truth of the matter is, you will become the counsel that you keep. We get over here and now this verse number one, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's now a person. He went from walking, he's now standing, and now he's even seated. The position that he takes up is completely different than what it used to be. He has completely changed sides. Whereas before, the blessings of God, or he had the opportunity to be blessed of God, now he has taken up residence purposefully on the wrong side against the very people of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many people come to your mind when I talk about somebody that had the opportunity to serve God, but because of the counsel they kept, they quickly went away from the things of God, became a part of things that they had no business being a part of, and then just a few years later, they are actively against God. Now, people in the world can be indifferent. People that's never darkened the church door, they can be indifferent to the gospel. But you take somebody that's lived it, you can take somebody that's heard the preaching, you can take somebody that's been around it all their life, and it's very rare for that person to be indifferent, Brother Jeff, when they leave. They become bitter. Isn't that right? There's a root of bitterness that springs up inside of them. And before long, they can portray this person that is now sitting in the seat of the scornful. They've taken up an active role against the people of God. Let me ask you something here. This man, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is the person that we ought to strive not to be. Look up here. This verse still starts out with the word blessed. It still starts out with the word blessed. If you desire to be blessed in your life, you ought to desire to not be the man in verse number one. But you get to verse number two, it gives you the remedy for that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let me ask you something. I don't believe it's a, or let me tell you something. I don't believe it's a coincidence that he uses the word law here. You take the scorner. You take the scorner. The person that's grown up in the house of God, or at least around the people of God, they've gone the opposite way. They're out in the world now. They're now looking back vehemently, it seems like, almost at the people of God. Well, I would never dress like that. That's ridiculous. Or I would never go to those places. That's ridiculous. I would never spend my nights in a revival meeting or a camp meeting. That's ridiculous. That's how they are. They're actively scorning against that. But you take the opposite side. They will look at this book as if it's nothing but a book of laws, of do's and do nots, regulations that'll keep you from having fun. But the Bible tells us in verse number two that the blessed man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Young person, older person, it doesn't matter. Is your delight the law of the Lord? Is this where you get your counsel from? Is this where you get your joy from? This man that is blessed, this is where he gets his joy from. That's why he could be a poor man and still be blessed. He doesn't get it by the numbers on the checking account. He gets his joy from here. He doesn't get it by pulling up in his driveway and looking at his house. He gets his joy from here. He doesn't get it by advancement at work. He gets his joy from here. And I'll let you know this, every person that I know, most of the people that I know that are out in the workforce that get their joy from here do very well. That's the truth. That's the truth. Honest, hardworking person, a key word honest, key word hardworking, key word on time, they'll do well in society. Amen. This person here, the blessed man, everybody wants to be the blessed man, but nobody wants to delight themselves in the law of the Lord. He says he meditates therein day and night. This person has taken an active, and it doesn't happen by accident. This is an active, purposeful meditation. Something that takes place out of a responsibility. They've pushed away the counsel of the world as they ought to. They've pushed away the sinfulness of the world as they ought to. They've pushed away the bitterness of the heart. And what have they replaced it with? The Bible says, and in his law doth he meditate therein day and night. Then the Bible goes on to say, because he's pushed away the sinfulness and the scornfulness and all the other things. He gets to verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree. Immediately, after meditating in his law, Brother Jeff, after meditating in his law, they become productive. They become producing. They become pleasant, and they become prosperous. Out of verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be a blessed man? Now let me see your hands again now. Who all wants to be blessed? Who wants to be this man in verse number 1 again? You're going to have to stay out of verse number 1 and get into verse number 2. Make this law. Make the word of God the counsel that you keep. Decide now, if it's in that book, I'm going to do it. Decide now, I'm not going to go to the doctors of society. I'm not going to go to Dr. Field and Dr. Bottlestopper and Oprah Winfrey, everybody else, and say, well, what should I do? What should I do? Don't seek your counsel from an ungodly place. You get it from godly people out of God's word. And you can be a blessed person. Society will tell you that everything I said was wrong. Wouldn't they? Maybe it's because they've already passed into that third seat, the seat of the scornful. Everything I've said today would not fly if the world was sitting in here, worldly people were sitting in here, people that are without God were sitting in here, they would say, well, that doesn't even make any sense. But this Bible is always true. And the Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. If it's found in this book, you can take it to the bank and it'll cash every time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's one more aspect that I have not touched yet, and I've got to touch it, and I'll let you out of here. The meditation process takes place. But then the Bible also talks about being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The godly counsel that you receive from this word and from the people that you trust, you ought to take it. You ought to take it. And somebody said knowledge is power. And I guess that's true in some regards. But the truth of the matter is, the person that will actually get out there and do it will just about always be more powerful. Let me tell you something. I can get up here and preach till I'm blue in the face. But if a person does not have a willing heart to meditate on it, a person doesn't have the legs to put behind it and the hands to make it work, then it's of no avail. It's going to require that the person take the very things that he's meditating in verse number 2, the very law of the Lord, and he has to apply it for it to work. And when he applies it, he gets to verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I began to think about that tree. We'll get there some other time. We're gonna continue preaching through this, but I'll get there some other time. That tree is a prosperous tree. That tree is one that people take notice of. That tree is one that people look at and say, boy, I wish all my trees were like that tree. That's the tree that all the other trees want to be like. You want to have a relationship, you want to have a testimony, you want to have a godly influence, be the blessed man. Be the blessed man. Amen. Let's all stand, head bowed, eyes closed.